Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
How about it? It's a national championship Monday. We have Purdue versus UConn tonight, but that's not the topic of discussion today for the most part. We will discuss it, but welcome in. April 8th, 2024. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. I'm hanging in there. Have a good weekend, though.
I had a fantastic weekend.
Check out the eclipse this morning.
I did check out the eclipse. I thought it was cool.
Didn't have any travel plans. You didn't take days off work. I'm very happy.
No,
about
I didn't
that.
Need to. No.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that still like traveling for those types of things. And you hear about how rare they are all the time. But I don't think it's worth it, personally.
I think if people want to take enjoyment out of it and, you know, I do think if you got totality, it is something that I may consider traveling for because it does show you, you know, the power of nature and it kind of reminds you of your place in the universe. So I do think that it can be a very cool thing for people. So if there's people out there that thought the eclipse today was one of the coolest things that they ever saw, I'm happy for them. And if it brought them joy, I'm cool with it.
How ironic, too, it's an eclipse day, right? We had the full eclipse. And we have a national championship tonight that we're supposed to watch and be fully in tune with. But we have a certain coach from Kentucky that is doing more than just flirting with another team in that conference. He is full on about to take the job at Arkansas. John Calipari. That's eclipsing what we're going to watch tonight. I still think people will watch and they'll enjoy themselves, but you can bet your bottom dollar on the pregame show throughout the broadcast. This will be a topic of discussion. We have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on Cal to Arkansas. What's that going to mean? What does his contract look like? I have most of those answers. We don't have all of those answers. We're still waiting for the final announcement to come out, but it looks like it's heading that direction. We'll discuss the Women's National Championship, where Iowa ended up losing 87-75 to South Carolina. South Carolina was just too much for him. So just way too much for him. In the end of the day. And South Carolina, Dawn Staley, I just got to tip the cap. 38-0. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's absolutely impressive. But they won for some obvious reasons. And now Caitlin Clark's going to be done at Iowa. What's next for women's college basketball? What's next for Caitlin Clark in the WNBA? How much does she raise? She seemed to raise the watchability and the viewership of women's college basketball. Does she do the same for the WNBA? We will discuss. We also have the men's national championship, Purdue versus UConn, sort of what a lot of people thought was going to happen. This was definitely in my bracket, but it was in everybody else's bracket as well. UConn has climbed to about a 7.5-point favorite. The original line, when we talked about the hypothetical lines, Connor, was what, 5.5? I think a lot of the public is riding UConn, who has not lost a tournament game the last 2 years, or has not played a tournament game in the last 2 years that has been closer than 13 points. Even in that Alabama game, you're sitting there, and Alabama ties it up, and UConn just decides, yeah, no, we're not going to let this happen.
Yeah.
They end up winning by 14.
You know, after the Grizzlies game ended, we were waiting for the Gasol ceremony, which we'll talk about later on in the Blitz, and it was absolutely fantastic. We turned on the Alabama-UConn game. We were like, oh, my God, they tied it up. And then within, like, 5 minutes, the game was over. It was just like, oh, okay, they're inevitable.
And then Tristan Newton knocks down the three to make it look even worse than it actually was.
Yeah.
But it's just, they're ridiculous. They're ridiculous. They just decide to turn it on, they flip that switch.
It was kind of mean.
Yeah, it's kind of rude.
Yeah, a little rude.
You didn't have to do that.
A little rude.
You didn't have to do that.
If you're going to beat us by a double digits, just do it the whole game. Don't give us hope.
But we'll also talk about, like you said, the Marc Gasol night on Saturday, his jersey retirement. I thought phenomenal. Mostly packed crowd, and everybody stayed.
Everybody stayed.
Till 10:30, 10:50, whatever the hell it was when you walked out of FedEx Forum, but stayed till about 11 to watch the ceremony after Pete talking to the core four and everybody else. I mean, that was phenomenal.
It was tremendous.
That was very fun.
Yeah.
That was very fun. A highlight of the weekend. I know you were in the building. I had some other things to attend to because it seems like every weekend, I tell you this all the time, it's either baby shower or wedding shower or, you know, engagement party. I was in an engagement party this weekend on Saturday. Full disclosure. Nice house I was at, though. It was very nice. Very fun. Very fun for a good friend. Now, he's getting married. Now, we have to decipher something really quick. He's getting married in Tuscany. So I have to, you know, potentially get over there and go to Italy for his wedding. I've heard Larry David talk about this. And by the way, we just came off the season finale.
I haven't seen it yet.
Of Curb. I'm not going to talk about it.
I think I nailed the prediction, though, I've heard.
Of course you did. You knew that.
I absolutely knew.
Well,
kind of.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes, you did nail the prediction. Him ending the season in prison, but you knew that was going to happen. But Larry David always said if you have like to travel that far for a wedding, he said he just never goes.
How close are you to this person?
Very close. Like unbelievably close. He was in my groomsman party. He was, best man type of guy.
Why is it in Italy?
That's what he wants to do. Wants it smaller. Wants it to be an eloping-style wedding where they go over there
in Italy?
Close family, that's it. And they just show up, get it done. And then they have their vacation and their honeymoon in Europe. That's what he wants to do.
That's tough.
Yeah, but he did. Yeah, it's kind of funny. He mentioned it. He's like, I want it to be kind of elope. I'm like, you're not really eloping.
If you want to elope, go to the courthouse.
Go to the courthouse.
Yeah, go to the courthouse and I can stand with you.
I'll celebrate with you.
I can drive there.
Yes,
how about that?
Yes. But That was always – Larry David is a big guy. You have a destination wedding. Don't buy the tickets. Don't go.
It's tough.
But I am close.
There would be a certain dollar amount where I would have to be like, hey, man, well, we won't be there.
Have you seen some of the – the prices to fly over into, Paris, get over there?
I'd be like, you've seen the news? They're falling apart.
You've seen my –
Is it a Boeing?
You've seen my big self too, right? Like getting into a flight for, whatever it is, 9 to 13 hours, whatever the hell it is. I probably need a seat that lays all the way down, which is the only one you can go get is first class.
I do not envy your situation.
The first class flights, I was checking them out. One, you can barely find any. And two, upwards of like for one, back and forth ticket, $6,500.
Woo! Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
A little tough.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'd have to tell this buddy. I'll see you when you get back.
Now, to be fair, he has given me the out. Like, I know it's tough. I know it's a tough travel day, but
if you want to,
I'd love to have you there.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's tough.
We'll celebrate you when you get back to the States. It may have to be one of those, but we'll see. Now, as far as guests are concerned on the show today, Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock from the Daily Memphian and Jeff Calkins Show. And then at 6 o'clock, Really was not supposed to be slated until football season. You know, he is a Wednesday regular during football season, but that's Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas. Reason he is coming on is because he's really close to that Razorbacks program, and I know he's been sort of trying to figure out what's going to happen with that job, but it looks like John Calipari is going to take it, so we'll have Ty join us at about 6 o'clock before we get into the Blitz at 6:30 and ultimately get you out at about 6:50 with the Rewind. But let's start with Cal to Arkansas. After 15 years in Lexington, previous to that we know he is at Memphis, but this domino effect is getting pretty out of hand, quite frankly, with the coaching carousel. It's even before the season is completely over. We have the national championship tonight. But the domino effect has been USC to SMU, Arkansas to USC, Kentucky to Arkansas, and now we're going to have to see what happens with Kentucky. It's crazy to see these big names just moving all over the place, and it just highlights we had a lot. Like, if you just think about the landscape of college basketball this past year, we have a lot of coaches that are relatively unhappy in situations that they have been very successful at, right? Andy Enfield really struggled at USC. He says, to hell with it, I'm going to SMU. Eric Musselman struggled at Arkansas. He was getting into it with the higher-ups. He heads off to the West Coast, gets back to his West Coast roots, heads to USC. Kentucky, we know that there's a $33 million buyout that they're likely going to get out of because of the Arkansas switch from Cal going to Arkansas. But to see him, how unhappy he was at the end, the pressure that's being put on him, how unhappy everybody in that Kentucky orbit is, him heading to Arkansas. It just does highlight the fact there is a lot of coaches that did not have their best years, and a lot of the people behind the scenes are frustrated with the jobs that they have right this second. Now, when it comes to what is being rumored as his contract, pretty good. Pretty good. A five-year deal, supposedly, with an overall base salary of about $8 million per year. That basically doubles what they were paying Eric Musselman the past couple of years. And Eric Musselman came in this year as 12th in Division I with a $4.2 million base salary. But they want to make it incentive-based. He can potentially earn more if John Calipari ultimately takes his job, which I think will happen here relatively soon. But Arkansas is ready to invest in John Calipari, and it seems like John is ready to put that investment to good use back in their direction. Jeff Goodman is reporting that it looks like he's been told by a source that the NIL package that Arkansas is ready to throw out there for John Calipari is going to be upwards of $5 million per year. So we know that he can do some things with that. But this is unbelievable, man. After 15 years, feels like Memphis fans may have another program to hate with John at the top. But it looks like Arkansas is going to be the landing spot for one of the college coaching's greatest coach right now. I mean, he's accomplished a lot. He's only got the one national championship, but we know how hard it is to make it through the tournament and ultimately win. But Cal to Arkansas, I'd imagine he'll do a great, great job there. And if he doesn't, it could be a very interesting conversation about the end of his career. But I like this for Arkansas. I think this is fine for Cal. Makes a whole lot of sense at the current moment.
I think it makes a ton of sense for Cal and for Arkansas. And, you know, you talked about the roller coaster of emotions that Arkansas fans have probably gone through within the last 48 to 72 hours. So, but ending up with John Calipari is not a bad destination to arrive at. And it sounds like they're going to have the NIL money and the resources to back up the decision. So I think that Arkansas might be a little sleeping giant here all of a sudden that you're going to have to pay attention to. And you said that Memphis fans may have a new school to hate. I'm curious how the reaction's going to be from Memphis fans, because I know personally it's not going to – my Kentucky hate's not going to carry over to Arkansas. And I don't know if it's just because I have more of a familial connection to Arkansas. Like, I have, you know, family that roots for them and went there and things like that. So I'm actually quite excited for Arkansas and their fan base to get a coach like John Calipari.
But I'll say this. Sports hate does not – like, it's not rational. You know
what
I mean?
That's a great point. That's
it's
a great
rational.
Point.
It's just, like, if I'm using my rational brain, I'd say Arkansas needs to make this hire. Why wouldn't you make
this
hire?
The odd thing about this now is, like, I want Calipari to gut Kentucky like he gutted Memphis when he left. And that's kind of what I'm rooting for now. So my sports hate has maintained on Kentucky throughout this process. And for, you know, since the news broke last night, I've just been quite enjoying it. Now, the flip side of that coin is I do think that Kentucky's probably going to land a very good basketball coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think that their suffering is going to last for too long. And I do think that it is probably the right decision for them to move off of John Calipari if he is, you know, wanting out and wasn't happy. I am curious to see what the grass looks like on the other side, you know, because I know that as a Memphis fan, we went through it. And when Cal left, it can get ugly there for a second. But if they make the right hire, they should be okay. But I'm not sure my hate's going to carry over to Arkansas. I think it's going to stay firmly with Kentucky.
Now, what ultimately ended up happening to make this a reality is, one, John Calipari and Kentucky, that relationship has been souring for some years.
Absolutely.
Especially with the last 5 years, only one tournament win, losing to a 15 seed in St. Peter's, losing to a 14 seed in Oakland. That's just, it's been heading that direction because their expectations are ridiculous. But also, behind the scenes, Arkansas, you know, as much as we think about other schools, Alabama, Georgia, all these teams, or these schools having like great NIL, great donors, John Tyson from Tyson Foods is a big Arkansas supporter, and it looks like he came in handy here because John Calipari and John Tyson, who's the heir to Tyson Foods, they're longtime friends, and it looks like this is how this started, where the ball got rolling. But it does show that there's going to be some expectations there. And I do think for John Calipari, getting to Arkansas, the expectations are lesser. And that's a nice thing for him, especially in the twilight of his career, getting older and older. At Kentucky, it is just a pressure cooker every single year. I think when he gets to Arkansas, especially at $8 million per year, they're going to want second weekend. They're going to want you to get to Elite Eights. They're going to want you to replicate similar to what Eric Musselman did in 5 years, two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16. But it's not the same as every single year at Kentucky. We want Final Four. We have national championship aspirations. Arkansas asks that for every few years. Kentucky wants that every single year. So I think when you talk about moves to alleviate a little bit of pressure, this is good for Cal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Arkansas expectation is not dissimilar to the Memphis basketball expectation. You know, you want to make a run every few years, make it to the tournament every season is usually the expectation that people have. And I think that that's fully possible at Arkansas, especially with, it sounds like, the resources he's going to have. You know, it just seems like the one and done thing wasn't necessarily working for Cal anymore at Kentucky. So even with this move, it feels like with the NIL money, he's going to be able to switch up him doing that a little bit. So I'm curious to see what it looks like. What do you think a fair expectation for his first season is? Is it as simple as make it to the tournament?
Win a game.
Just win a game.
Two games. I think, I mean, still second weekend should be a nice expectation.
Yeah.
Because when you look at, like, he's got a number two rated recruiting class that's supposed to be going to Kentucky. If they are not able to keep those guys, and Billy Richmond's part of that, right? Trey Richmond's part of that. So we'll see if he can get all those guys to commit to Arkansas ultimately, because that's what happened at the end of Memphis, and they ended up going to Kentucky. We can relive that all we want. We still have some bad feelings about
that. Is he taking the ice machine?
But he could absolutely do that and bring over a number two rated recruiting class straight to Arkansas. And with those types of guys, I know he's not the biggest transfer portal guy, but if he adds a couple of transfer portal guys around the edges, that Arkansas team in the SEC can be very competitive. We've seen Eric Musselman do it. I know it was a down year, but John Calipari knows the league and he knows how to recruit, and he's always going to have talent. He's always going to have first round talent. So I don't see why it wouldn't be possible for him to have a second weekend showing in year one, and why that wouldn't be an unrealistic expectation, to say the very least. Now, I think one of the things that really made him latch on to this idea, and Matt Norlander from CBS Sports was reporting this, his biggest points of emphasis in discussions with Hunter Yurecek and the people behind the scenes at Arkansas were, one, assurances of accepting transfers. He didn't want to have any issues with, okay, I have this guy, but his credits, blah, blah, blah. We have a higher academic, you know, thought process. We have academic integrity. He doesn't want any of that. He wants to take in any transfer that's willing to play for him. He wants to bring his freshman class with him. So that's what we already discussed, second-rated recruiting class. And he also wants NIL promises. It looks like he's got all three of those, and that's why this is ultimately going to happen. Now, When it comes to challenges with John Calipari making this move to Arkansas, the only thing I can really come up with is at the University of Memphis and at the University of Kentucky, it was the same thing. Basketball's out front. you are the center of attention. You get whatever you ask for when you ask for it. And I think early on, looking at this relationship with Arkansas, they're doing everything they can to get everything in order for him, and he's getting most of what he asked for. But we know at the end of Kentucky, he had some run-ins with the football program, with Mark Stoops. There were some issues there. At Arkansas, it's different, though, right? Like, Arkansas is baseball, football, basketball. They love them all the same. Not every bit of donor money, not every bit of the resources, not all of that is going to pour directly to you. That's the one challenge that he has to deal with. But I think also with that, it does work in his favor in the fact that they do care about other things. You're not the center of attention always. But I think John Calipari finds a way to make himself the center of attention no matter where he goes. But that's the one challenge I can sort of foresee for him. He's been at two straight stops where basketball is out front. Everything pours into those programs. Arkansas may not be the exact same.
Right. I do think that being the case was one of the reasons, though, Arkansas was such an attractive job to him, probably after the experience he had at Kentucky, especially with the, you know, how it ended. I think initially it will be something that he enjoys, but at the end of the day, they might run into something where they need funds for something or he wants extra money, and they're like, we're going to give it to football because football is still king at Arkansas. So that dynamic is going to be interesting
to see. And baseball does their own thing, man.
It does. The baseball team
they bring in – people love baseball in Fayetteville and in the state of Arkansas. So, like, you are competing with two other programs that are not going to take kindly to what you did to Mark Stoops the past couple of years. They're not going to like you talking about – people in Kentucky didn't even enjoy that, right? Even though basketball is king. So that's going to be a challenge for him. He's going to have to, you know, navigate those waters. But we know that he is a salesman at heart. So it's not – I don't expect that to be the most smooth transition in the world, to say the least.
Yeah, I expect him to have a pretty good presser, though. You know, I expect him to win the press conference.
Well, yeah. I mean, he is a salesman.
He is a salesman.
So he will – He finds his way to win.
I think it's a great move for Arkansas.
Yeah.
I really do.
I mean, when you were looking at their past week, they were in hell. Like, let's be honest. You lose Eric Musselman. Most of the fan base loves Eric Musselman.
Loved him.
Now, I can't speak to the higher-ups. I think there were some things going on there. He never stays at one place too long. He may wear thin on those type of guys with his style and sort of how he is. He's relatively eccentric. But he was gone. Fans are just sad. Like, what's going to happen? So you have these three names, Will Wade, Chris Beard, Jerome Tang, come up. Chris Beard was the guy in the early running, and Arkansas fans were latching onto that idea. They absolutely loved it, just couldn't get enough of it. But then Chris Beard says, I'm staying at Ole Miss. So they struck out there. Next one they moved on to was Jerome Tang, and they struck out there. So they're turning, and they're saying, is this going to turn into a Louisville job search where you strike out on all these great and big names, and we end up on a guy like Pat Kelsey from the College of Charleston? For them to...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scored.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
To have to go through that week of hell and trying to find a legit basketball coach to actually turn around and land on John Calipari, that is about as that's better than anything I thought that they thought was going to be a reality by the end of the
season. I mean, we were talking about how you don't necessarily have to hit a home run in this hiring process to be successful. Sometimes you're just looking for a double to keep stabilization of your program. And I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that this is pretty much the biggest home run hire you could probably make.
This is the home run.
I do think a huge thing, though, Cal can't just do the one-and-done thing anymore. He's got to have a mix of veterans.
That's the thing, though. It's the stylist.
If he makes that change.
We can have this conversation all we want, right?
Right.
Like, stylistic, what does he do? He brings in these freshmen, and then at some point during the year when they have some struggles, he'll say, well, we're too young. Well, you can't use that every single year, even though he has found
he
a way for 15 years at Kentucky to use that excuse every single year. But I think at the end of the day, and we had this discussion earlier off the air, Kentucky fans were really mad about losing to St. Peter's and losing to Oakland as a 2 seed and then a 3 seed.
Right.
I think Arkansas fans, they don't want to lose those games. And they'll be mad, and they deserve to be mad if it was, you know, all copy and paste and that's what happened at Arkansas. But I think there are some Arkansas fans that would be more happy about the fact that, hey, we were a 2 seed. We were a 3 seed. We were at the top of the SEC, and we have a number 1, number 2 recruiting class every year. I think Arkansas fans will take that in stride a lot better than Kentucky fans ever will, because that is the absolute positive to have that top recruiting class, to be a 2 seed, a 1 through 3 seed in the tournament. That's Kentucky copy and paste every year. You have to be that. At Arkansas, if you accomplish those things, they're not used to that year to year. I mean, before Eric Musselman got there, they had a bunch of struggles. He got them back up. Now they're sort of they had a dip year. I think Arkansas fans are way more apt to accept, a 2 or a 3 seed in a number 1, number 2 recruiting class every single year, and they're not going to complain as much. Now, if you lose to those double-digit 14, 15 seeds too many times, it will become a struggle, and they will get mad. But I think that you have more time. And you have more good faith built up with that Arkansas fan base than that Kentucky basketball fan.
Yeah, well, you just get to start from scratch again. You know, you get to start from scratch again. All of those tournament losses stay at Kentucky. They don't necessarily follow you to Arkansas. I do think that some style change needs to be made for his recruiting, but at the end of the day,
he needs to have a better mix of guys.
I've always found Arkansas fans to be underrated in the passion that they give their sports, but I also think that they're extremely measured and usually pretty sane on their sports takes. I mean, we've talked to Ty Richardson a whole bunch. We'll talk to him later. I pretty much agree with everything that Ty says, because they seem like they understand where their position is within the SEC. And so every once in a while, they're going to have years where they really pop, or they'll have a coach come in and they'll have years where, okay, we can make a run here and really pop. And it feels like one of those moments right now with the basketball team where, okay, this is a moment where we can really pop. So the expectation will be there, but I do think Arkansas fans do a pretty good job at seeing the bigger picture. And I also like how this is just an easy way for you to say that Kentucky fans are spoiled brats.
They are on the basketball side. Now, the example I'll give about, like, Arkansas is, we know how bad Sam Pittman was last year. They were the worst team in the SEC last year.
Yeah.
But I didn't see a lot of people calling for him to be fired immediately. I think most people in the Arkansas orbit said, let's give him another year, see what happens, then we'll go find another coach, because we don't want to hop into a coaching carousel right now and be uncomfortable in trying to find a coach for next year. So they are relatively measured as compared to Kentucky basketball fans, and I think that's a massive positive for them and for Cal going forward. Now, did you see Cal? It looks like we had WKYT.
The dog walker?
Go out there. a TV channel tried to go talk to John Calipari while he was walking his dog. And he had a stroller, too. He was walking his dog and he had a stroller.
That's hilarious.
It's unclear what was in the stroller.
Ice machine.
Very unclear what was in the stroller. But they asked him for comment, and he said, I will not give you a comment. I'm walking my dog right now.
So he's going to Arkansas.
Yes, that's what it seems like. But it's kind of funny. It is.
It's pretty funny.
I have a lot of questions. I see the dog walking next to him, but I'm very curious about what's in
the
stroller.
Wait, there's a dog next to him?
Yeah, there's a dog next to him.
Oh, I thought the dog was in the stroller.
Yeah, no, that's what most people originally thought. There's a dog walking to the left next to him.
Is there a child in the stroller?
I don't know. It's unclear what's in the stroller.
It's just all the money that Kentucky's going to give them.
Well, that Arkansas.
Oh, Arkansas.
Give them.
Yeah, I keep screwing that up.
Now the next question, bring it up. Kentucky's not going to have to deal with firing him, and they weren't going to do it, and they don't have to deal with a buyout. Even if next year it would have been $27 million. So where do they turn to? That's the real question. I think there's some names that have surfaced, and I think they're going to land on a good name. This Kentucky job is wanted. Now it comes with expectations, and it comes with, hey, you got to recruit your ass off every single year, and they want better than what Cal gave them the last 5 years. I completely understand that. But the names that are surfacing, Scott Drew, Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, Billy Donovan, which would be a huge swing, Sean Miller and Chris Beard. So they are looking into very good coaches who have been there, done that, who can do it at the highest of levels, and I don't think they'll strike out on all of them.
I think if they could land Nate Oates, that's a huge get. That would be a fantastic get for Kentucky. I think Scott Drew would still be a very good basketball coach, you know, for Kentucky.
Drew would be the good mix of, hey, I recruit well, I bring in transfer portal guys, and I really am a great X's and O's coach.
Yeah, I don't think they have any shot at actually getting Hurley from Kentucky or from UConn.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. No,
it just seems like a pipe dream.
Why would he leave? Why would he leave right now? Nate Oates is kind of in the same vein of John Calipari and how he tries to coach his teams. He's going to recruit very highly. He's going to try to develop these guys. He's going to have one and dones, and he will spread the floor on offense and let these guys go cook. It would be almost copy and paste, a younger version of Cal, in my opinion, if you get Nate Oates.
Would you be surprised if they didn't get Nate Oates?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious about that. I obviously, Kentucky's a way better job than Alabama. Nate Oates is not old by any stretch of the imagination, so I would imagine he would want to make that move. But I think that's going to – if he gets offered, it's going to be really – I don't really envision a scenario where he's going to say no, right? And it's hard to envision anybody saying no to this job at this current moment, right? Like, that's the thing you're
running. Because even though you're following Cal, it ended so poorly that I'm not sure it's as hard to follow as maybe it was when he left Memphis. I think that was a different situation.
But whoever it is, you got to get in there and try to keep that recruiting
class
intact.
Well, you
got to
start winning
as much as you
immediately.
Can. Yeah, but
yeah, that is the thing.
But with this recruiting class that's coming in, you still have Kentucky fans happy about it. I know that all likelihood they'll follow Cal to Arkansas, but you got to come in and you got to get your recruiting hat on immediately and get that fan base excited.
If they don't get Nate Oates or Scott Drew, do you think it's a bit of a miss?
Not really. I mean. Sure, yeah. If Kentucky strikes out on their first two options, I think it'll be a miss to a certain extent, but I still think they're going to land on a good coach. I still think they're going to find an accomplished coach who knows what the hell he's doing, who can recruit.
I think I agree. I'm surprised Will Wade's name's not getting thrown around more.
Yeah. He'd be on a longer list. We'd have to get to about 10.
He's 25-1 right now, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
And
tied with Penny.
Oh, my God.
Ty Penny's 25-1.
So that ain't happening,
that
buddy.
Is not happening. I can tell you that right now.
Do you have the odds in front of you?
No, I don't have them in front of me. I can find them somewhere, though.
Yeah. I would like to know who the favorite – I think the favorite is Nate Oates at the current moment. Scott Drew's probably second in those odds. That's probably published by Bet Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to find a hell of a coach, but that coach needs to understand the expectation game is going to be played immediately with you. You cannot screw around at Kentucky. And that may keep some of these guys away from it, but I do notice, in whether it's college football or college basketball, the amount of pride that these coaches have in being able to put a good, consistent product on the floor, to be able to put an NCAA tournament team on the floor that can make a run. They have that pride and that confidence that they can do that.
Okay, looks like some odds I found. Scott Drew's actually the favorite. He's 1-1.
Okay.
Nate Oates is 3-1. Richard Pitino, which would be hilarious, is 7-1. Billy Donovan's 9-1. Mark Pope, 10-1. Kelvin Sampson's 12-1. That's not happening.
That's
Jamie
not happening.
Dixon, 16-1. Sean Miller, 16-1. And then it jumps up to Chris Beard at 18-1. And then Rick Pitino at 20-1. Rick Pitino would be amazing, too.
Rick Pitino. That would be ridiculous. I don't think Kentucky fans would like that. After how
Kentucky
to Louisville
25.
Move, that kind of cooks your chances to get that Kentucky job again.
Bruce Pearl's 25-1.
Yeah.
I've seen that name get thrown around. Jay Wright, too. I've seen that get thrown around a few times.
I don't know about Jay Wright.
I don't know he'd want to.
Why would he hop back in? He got done at Villanova, and he was on top of the world. I don't know.
I think your first call should be to Nate Oates, then to Scott Drew. And then after that,
If you strike out on those two, you're still going to...
Might as well call Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan, see if he'll say no or say yes. Bruce Pearl, Sean Miller's a fine one. If Chris Beard, if they end up on that, that's not the worst option in the world from a coaching perspective. You do have to get over the reputation, though. But I don't think a lot of Kentucky fans care about reputation as long as you're winning ball games.
Coach K's 50-1.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know, on that note, that's not going to happen. So let's go ahead on that note and go ahead and grab a break. And when we come back, I know we had the eclipse this morning, and I know that this Cal news has eclipsed everything in the sports world, especially in the college basketball world. But we do have a national championship to talk about. UConn and Purdue play tonight, and we'll also discuss the women's national championship, where South Carolina finished off a undefeated season 38-0 by beating Iowa 87-75. Caitlin Clark's last game. We'll get through all of that next, right here on 92.9 FMEU.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Is a national championship Monday right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. We have the men's national championship tonight at 8:20. It'll be a late tip, so get your coffee in you. We'll have UConn versus Purdue. It looks like that line keeps growing. It was at 5.5 to start. It's already swung in UConn's direction by 2.75. UConn is favored by. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I have to start by talking about what we saw yesterday in the afternoon. I saw some people that were a little frustrated with the women's basketball national championship, how it's scheduled. The NBA runs alongside it, but it is an afternoon game starting around 2. But in that game, I don't think it really mattered because they did peak at 18.7 million viewers. Did you see that, Connor? 18.7 million viewers. And that was the average. The peak was 24 million viewers. Most watched game of all time at the women's level. It's absolutely unbelievable.
That's incredible.
To see what they've been able to accomplish. But in that game, it was pretty simple. I don't think anybody thought Iowa was going to be able to get over top, but they did start up 10-0 because Iowa was very hot from the three-point line, and Caitlin Clark was phenomenal. I think she had 18 points in the first quarter. But they ended up losing it for the second straight year, last year to LSU, this year to South Carolina. They lost 87-75. But shout out to South Carolina, 38-0. They put a cap on what is a phenomenal season for them. Now, what really happened is South Carolina's too deep, and they won the size matchup. The South Carolina's bench outscored Iowa's 37-0 because Dawn Staley is able to play 9 deep. That's what she does. Malaysia Fulwiley, who is a hell of a story, she's off the bench. She was one of the best recruits in women's basketball this past year. Also, when I talk about the size matchup, Camila Cardoso and the rest of that team, they're too big. Camila Cardoso ended with 15 points and 17 rebounds. South Carolina ultimately out-rebounded Iowa 48-25. The leading scorer for South Carolina was Tessa Johnson off the bench, one of those 9 players that ends up playing, but she had 19 points. Caitlin Clark ends with no rings. I want to discuss that in just a moment. But Dawn Staley, I know that there is a lot of discussion around these coaches and these players, and Kim Mulkey is one who really is polarized and not a lot of people really like her. And I think before the national championship, OutKick went into a presser with Dawn Staley and asked her about trans athletes, and she was very accepting, and I honestly appreciated her answer, just because she wants to be accepting of trans athletes if they did want to participate in women's sports. But regardless of all that, there's one thing you can't say about Dawn Staley that you can say about other coaches, whether it's on the men's side or the women's side. She is one of the most classy coaches in all of sport right now. And yeah, she talked about God giving her the platform and this team and how much they fought through after last year's loss to Iowa, and you know, wondering if they're ever going to get back to the top of this mountain, but they do go 38-0. And even in that moment, she was talking about the other team's best player. She's talking about Caitlin Clark. She is all class. Just listen to this. When she's up on the podium, she gives the platform to the other team.
God wants to say one more thing. I really would just like to say that I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
And even the Iowa fans were just cheering for her because Dawn Staley, like, as much as we talk about coaches and their platforms and how they use them, we talk about John Calipari earlier in this conversation. He's a little polarizing. He's a salesperson. We talked about Kim Mulkey last week and her going after the media. Dawn Staley does none of that. She's all class, and she puts her best foot forward. That's why people want to play for her. That's why these young women want to play for her, and that's why her program is as good as it is. And this is a dynasty we're watching in front of our eyes, and I love Dawn Staley. She's one of my favorite figures right now in sports in general, not just women's sports.
I mean, she's probably on the Rushmore of women's college basketball coaches.
Already.
At
it hasn't
very
been
least.
Long.
And, you know, I'm not sure you could think of two better ambassadors right now for the sport of women's basketball than Dawn Staley and Caitlin Clark. I think what happened during the tournament, the eyeballs and the platform being viewed by so many people is fantastic, and it's a show of progress. And I can't wait to see where it continues to grow from here. I don't think there's any doubt about it that Caitlin Clark has had a lasting impact not only on women's sports but sports right. in general. It really feels like something shifted this tournament that hopefully stays around. I mean, it was electric. I can't lie. I've enjoyed watching the women's tournament more
phenomenal.
Than the men's.
Well, the Final Four,
it was incredible.
I leaned directly to the women's side for the Final Four.
It was incredible.
And the viewership tells you that as well. I wasn't the only one leaning that direction. Because I think even the Iowa-UConn game, that was a classic. Came down to a final possession where Aaliyah Edwards set an illegal screen. We can discuss that here in a moment. But that was even 14.7 million viewers. It's just insane.
Well, just the reaction that call got is a signal of
yes.
women's college basketball has arrived.
And by the way, the reaction's stupid, in my opinion. I can get to the point, I can have conversations about not calling an illegal screen in that moment
sure.
where it was 3 seconds left. But I cannot have a conversation about if it was a foul or not, or if it was a moving screen.
Yes.
I get so frustrated in all levels of basketball, on women's or men's, I get so frustrated by moving screens. That was textbook, really bad, wide feet, stuck her hip out. That was
elbow up.
A dead-on moving screen, and at any other point in the game should be called. Just because it was in the last 3 seconds, people get frustrated.
I'll have a cup of coffee with you if you want to talk about it. Shouldn't be called in that moment. But if you're trying to tell me that it wasn't a foul, I don't have no time for
yeah,
you.
I have
it was
zero
a textbook
time.
Textbook moving screen.
We have to call fouls when they're out there. We have to call offensive fouls.
Because
and that was
the flip
there.
Side
and I thought
of
it
this,
was, again, ultimately a good call. It's
well,
really
the
what
flip
it was.
Side of this conversation is, if that illegal screen led to a basket that made UConn win the game, Iowa would be losing their mind. So, you know, it's you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Now, on the Caitlin Clark front, Dawn Staley, I mentioned she's all class. She's accepting a national championship trophy and just gives the platform to Caitlin Clark in that moment. It says, you've lifted up our game. You're one of the GOATs. There's been way too much discussion about her not being one of the GOATs or her not. She has to win a national championship. You have to have rings. You hear Sue Bird say it. You hear Breonna Stewart say it. They both went to UConn. Diana Taurasi has said there are certain things about, oh, you need to have a championship ring to go make it happen. What was it? Jay Williams earlier in the year when they were doing College Game Day said it about her. I think that is one of the most ridiculous arguments. When you look at her, what she has attached to her name, Caitlin Clark, at this particular moment, I don't know how you have to ask for more. I don't know why you feel the need to ask for more from her. She's a two-time National Player of the Year. She's the all-time three-point. She has the all-time three-point record in the history of college basketball. She is the women's career scoring leader. She's the Big Ten career points leader, Big Ten career assist leader, most career points in an NCAA tournament setting. She's a unanimous All-American three times over. She won the Dawn Staley Award three times over. She's a Big Ten Player of the Year three times over. For you to ask for her to win a ring, to really hold her up, I think is one of the most ridiculous things ever, because Iowa is not a power historically in college basketball. And what did she do for them? She got them to the national championship.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Championship two straight years and ran into buzzsaws in LSU and South Carolina. And she does not have the same type of supporting cast that the women at UConn enjoy, that the women at South Carolina enjoy, that the women at LSU enjoy. They play six people deep. She plays about every single minute while she's on the floor. She does not get off the floor. But to ask her to win a ring over a team that played nine different players that are all the highest of possible recruits you can have in women's basketball, I think it's an unrealistic expectation. But she still dropped 30, and she still kept her team in the game. And for anyone to just continually ask for her to win this ring, to put her at the top of women's college basketball all the time, I think is just one of the most foolish arguments you could make.
I thought it was corny. I thought it was extremely corny for, you know, Diana to talk like that, Breonna Stewart, because it's like, y'all situations, you
completely
had
different
WNBA teammates with you. And Caitlin Clark, what she's done for the sport of women's college basketball and women's sports in general, y'all should be lifting her up. It doesn't matter that she hasn't won a title. She's still one of the GOATs of women's college basketball. And to me, I think they're threatened. A bit of it's they're threatened by.
And maybe a little jealousy.
Like the Mercury right now, today, are already promoting Caitlin Clark's first game. That is how she moves. Y'all need to respect
that. She filled out Iowa's
She's helping
football
your
stadium.
Sport. Helping y'all's entire plight. It doesn't make sense to me to try to cut her at the knees and talk all this mess about
her. Well, she needs a ring.
I won rings. It's like you had literally four other women next to you starting in the WNBA right now. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
I find it quite silly.
But when you just hold up all her accolades, they tell you the story you need to know.
What was that number of viewership again?
The number of viewership for the Natty was 18.4 million, and it peaked at 24 million.
Yeah, that counts as a ring for me. That's, if we want to have that conversation.
And then, like, there's questions about will she carry this over to the WNBA? I think it's very possible.
Probably.
And then also, like,
I'm going to watch.
I've had some interesting conversations with people who have really latched onto the women's game because Caitlin Clark's part of it. And they're like, what's next for the women's college game? And I go, there's plenty of stars.
Oh, yeah.
Still to follow. Have you seen Juju Watkins at USC? Have you seen Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame? I don't think the women's viewership and the personalities that are in that game, because they stay for 3-4 years, because the WNBA is not the most highest pay, you don't get paid unbelievably handsomely. They're not begging and jumping at that opportunity as soon as it presents itself like the men's game if you're going to be a lottery pick. To see these type of players stay for multiple years, the women's game's going nowhere. Caitlin Clark helped lift it up, and I think it's going to be right around there for quite a while because we still have great personalities and great players in the game.
Well, Diana Taurasi.
I mean, Juju Watkins, for those that don't know, just broke the freshman scoring record in women's college basketball history.
Well,
so, like, there are still plenty of players to follow along with that will be box office.
Diana Taurasi, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Miller, Candace Parker, the old guard, if you will, Maya Moore. They were trailblazers. They made it possible for a Caitlin Clark to come to fruition. And I just find it odd that a few of them, instead of being proud that she has taken the baton and continued to run with it, that they're trying to negate some of the accomplishments that she's had. Because from what Caitlin Clark has been talking about, she wants the next generation of college athletes in women's college basketball to take her baton and continue to run, to continue to grow the sport. So that's what I don't understand the conversations about, you know, taking away from everything that she's done, because at the end of the day, she's helping grow this sport, and that's the ultimate goal
here. And
they went through so much, and they had to be trailblazers. And just because it's easier for this new generation doesn't mean that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. You should be celebrating that.
It was kind of interesting to see Caitlin Clark and her sort of how she was carrying herself when she walked off the floor in South Carolina. It was very stoic, right? No tears, nothing like that. Even at the presser, no tears, nothing like that. And maybe she did it in the locker room, but she was very stoic about it. And I guess there is that thought process probably for her when she's walking off the floor. I did everything I possibly could for this game,
she left
for
it
this
out
team.
There.
I left it all out there. I have nothing to cry about. I have nothing to be sad about.
No. South Carolina is an all-time program right now. All-time. There is no shame in losing to that program whatsoever.
But it was kind of – I expected like a tear, some type of tear.
She's a killer.
She's a killer, stoic. She's off the WNBA. And I think she'll lift that game up as well. Now, the men's Final Four was chalk, very, very chalk. Alabama tried to make it a game against UConn, but they tied the game late, and UConn just absolutely took off. And Stephon Castle was phenomenal, one of his best games of the year, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Donovan Klingon was solid, 18 points and 5 rebounds on 8-for-14 shooting. They're just a buzzsaw, and you don't want to run into them right now. I even thought Grant Nelson played a good game for Alabama, 19 points, 15 rebounds. Mark Sears was his same great self, but that UConn team is unbelievable. Now on the Purdue side, it went about how I expected it to. DJ Burns, he's been a great story, and we bid you farewell, brother. You really captured our hearts and our minds. I know how cliche and corny that sounds, but you were so fun to watch. But you ran into a guy in Zach Edey who you just really had no real shot up against him. He has a 7-inch height advantage on you, and DJ Burns only had 8 points and 1 rebound, while Zach Edey gave you his normal 20-12 and 4 assists. But it sets up a great game tonight, in my opinion. Now on paper, UConn 7.5-point favorites, but Purdue had 4 losses this year. They were 34-4. UConn 36-3. So, I mean, I'm going to lean UConn. I think UConn wins this game. They're too deep. They can play multiple different styles. No matter what style you try to play, they will beat you at that style. I think they, you know, have a great coach. But Purdue, I think this is the best opportunity in the past 2 years for a team to actually cover a spread against UConn. UConn's closest game has been 13 points. That was last year in the national championship game against San Diego State. I think Purdue can potentially cover this spread tonight, but it's going to take a massive performance from Zach Edey, and it's going to require Purdue to shoot the 40% that they shot during the regular season from three, and all of those people around Zach Edey to be on their game.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a close game tonight, but I am definitely leaning UConn. But I do hope that Purdue gives us a good national championship game. Ultimately, though, I think UConn's just a machine.
Yeah.
We haven't seen something like this in college basketball
since 06, 07, since Florida.
And those Florida teams were a machine, too. It's just they feel inevitable because they can beat you in so many different ways. We saw that against Alabama. We've seen it throughout the tournament the last 2 seasons. I think Purdue has a good punch to throw, but at the end of the day, I'm not sure Zach Edey's enough to get him over the hump. So I'm curious to see what happens. But I will say I was slightly impressed by Edey's performance against NC State. He did it without having to get to the free throw line a whole bunch. So I'm curious to see what the whistle looks like, too. I think it's a huge X factor, is the whistle.
Oh, it's huge. It's massive.
Can Klingon stay
Donovan,
on the floor?
Yeah, can Donovan Klingon foul him or cover him without fouling?
Can he foul him without getting called?
He can foul him. We know that. But can he cover him without fouling? And we saw, for the most part, weirdly enough, NC State was kind of able to do that.
They were a little bit more physical.
It's you never know what the whistle is going to look like. Hopefully you have the best officiating crew of the entire year and the best officiated game of the year, but we know that sometimes that's not how this works out, even in national championship games. But when you look at UConn's road to get here, obviously Stetson, but then hammered Northwestern, beat a 5 seed in San Diego State, dealt with Illinois and just disposed of them, winning by 25, a 3 seed, and then dealt with Alabama, who made this magical run with Mark Sears and everybody else, and disposed of them by 14. They're so inevitable. They're so hard for me to look at any other team and say, you are capable of beating them. I think if there is one team that was capable of beating them throughout the year, this is the team that they're playing tonight in Purdue that I think has the ability to do it. But will they have a good shooting night? Will the people around Zach Edey show up? We'll have to see. So We will watch that late tip tonight, 8:20, so make sure you get your coffee in you. Now let's go ahead and transition up out of hour number one into hour number two. And you know how we lead off hour number two every day? That's with Jeff Calkins. So we'll talk about John Calipari. We'll talk about the Natty. We'll talk about the women's Natty. We have plenty to discuss with Jeff Calkins right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.